It's a couple of minutes after 8 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. Welcome to the Mornings with Ed show. Delighted, as always, to have the award-winning president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services with us this morning, Laureen Gilbert. Good morning, Laureen. How are you?
Good morning, Ed. Good to be here this morning. Everybody's tired this morning from that great event last night.
It was a smash, wasn't it? It was a great time. We had a member party where it was a members only party, and we had a couple of great bands. Laureen was there. Thank you so much for coming out.
Oh, it was fantastic. You and your team did a great job, and it was great to be with the community of Laguna Beach and supporting the radio station.
Yeah, and not bad music at that, huh?
Oh, the music was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a blowout, and I'm really delighted that you were there. Thank you so much. Let's talk about something you've got coming up on September 2nd at 5 o'clock. You've got a family love letter event. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
We do, Ed. We're excited about this event, and we're inviting the public to attend as well as all of our clients. And it's a way for families to put together their important documents, their records, as well as the things they want to say to their family if they were not here on Earth. And we've organized it in such a way through a brochure where you can keep everything together. And we're going to go through that process with people, how to do it, and we'll also assist families one-on-one with doing that as a value-added service that we provide for our clients. And it should be a great event on September 2nd at 5 o'clock Pacific time.
Okay. And our listeners can go to wealthwisefinancial.com to register?
They can, or they can email us at info@wealthwisefinancial.com, and we'll send them the link to sign up.
Fantastic. I want to start off by asking you this. I don't often think of Jackson Hole as the center of the financial world, but there's going to be an announcement or a meeting in Jackson Hole. The Fed is holding a meeting. What's going to happen?
Right. So Jackson Hole in the summer is the Fed. So right about now, every year, the Federal Reserve, all the presidents meet together at Jackson Hole. Unfortunately, this year, again, it's going to be a remote meeting. They were hoping to make it in person, but with the COVID surge and the Delta variant, they decided to make it a remote meeting once again. But when they get together, it's to decide changes in policy. And so here's what we expect, Ed, out of that Jackson Hole meeting. We know that Powell is going to speak on Friday, and he's going to summarize a little bit about what they're talking about. What we expect to hear is a decision on tapering. And what that means is tapering the purchases of the MBS, mortgage-backed securities, and the treasuries that they've been doing that somewhat has been propping up the market, propping up the economy. But with the economy rebounding as strongly as it has, there have been calls for tapering. And so what that means is stopping those purchases or declining those purchases. And what we expect to hear is some kind of timeline. And what we expect to hear is that they're actually going to start that tapering sometime this year, maybe towards the end of the year. Now, with that, the big question has been, will we have a taper tantrum like we did in 2013 when we saw tapering at that point? And there's debate about whether we're going to see a taper tantrum or not. My thought is that, you know, everybody's saying it's very transparent. Everybody knows it's going to happen. It's not a shock. However, I expect a little bit of a shock, a little bit of a response from the equity markets as that happens. On the positive side of this, what we expect to hear is that lower rates for longer, no change on interest rates, and that's the key. So that's going to continue. Even though we're going to see tapering,
right,
we're not going to see rising rates for a long time. So that's still positive for the market.
I love the term taper tantrum, by the way. I'm keeping that. I'm booking it right now.
Okay.
And talking about the markets, a couple of questions here. So the NASDAQ surpassed 15,000 for the first time ever yesterday. We're seeing the S&P had gained 0.2% and also hit a new record high and isn't far from topping the 4,500 milestone. So it seems that nothing can stop the stock market right now. Have the bulls assumed full control?
So yes, let me make a few other points. That was great data. Let me also tell you the S&P 500 index made its 50th new high yesterday for 2021, making it one of the fastest years to ever reach an incredible feat like that. Now, the most ever new highs was 77 in 1995. And so we're on track to make that and possibly beat that for the year. So all of that, when we look at what we call the technicals, look positive for the markets. And we've had, you know, some good news this week with, you know, the FDA approving, you know, finally fully approving Pfizer, et cetera. So what we would say is that we're definitely in a bull market run, but bull market runs don't only go one way. And so far this year, we've seen it. It feels like we've only had one way, and that is up. So investors need to be prepared for some volatility ahead. While we think the trend line is definitely up, by the way, Ed, this week we heard revisions to year-end S&P 500 forecasts from all the large banking institutions, all revising their estimates upward on the S&P 500 because we've already accomplished what many people thought we would have for the year. Most likely, we're going to have more growth in the S&P 500. Why? We've just come off of one of the strongest earnings seasons ever. Over 90% of the S&P 500 beat earnings in this earnings season. Huge number of earnings beats. So all of that is positive to the markets. We do think we're continuing a bull market run. Be ready for some volatility. And with that, those are buying opportunities in the dips.
Okay. And kind of staying on that frame right now. So you're speaking of volatility. We're talking out there is the Delta variant, inflation, the Fed tapering its stimulus, the mess in Afghanistan. There's a lot of things for investors to be nervous about these days. And there's something called the fear index, which measures seven gauges of investor sentiment. And it's showing signs of fear in the market. And on Friday, it seems that this was in extreme fear territory, but still stocks remained near all-time highs. And you just mentioned the S&P 500. Is there, among investors, is there a fear of missing out on this seemingly never-ending rally?
There is, and I think what we're seeing, Ed, is concern from individuals that came out in the consumer sentiment number this week that had a huge drop. So consumer sentiment dropped. At the same time, just like you mentioned, last week, retail, you know, was up incredibly. So, you know, people are spending, but they're also concerned. So consumer sentiment has dropped, but they still are, you know, spending money and they're still buying into the market. So with all that, I think there is, like you said, there's some concern of missing out. There's also a growing concern of how long can the markets continue to go up. But I come back to what we were talking about, the technicals, not only the technicals, but continued stimulus that we're seeing through Congress, through infrastructure package, as well as the additional $3.5 trillion that's going to be worked on through budget reconciliation. So all of that is spending over the next 8 to 10 years that's going to continue to prop up the market.
Okay. All right. And you mentioned a little while ago, you mentioned the pharmaceuticals. Since 2020, investors have been rallying behind shares of Pfizer and BioNTech. And on Monday, with the FDA granting full approval to Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine for people 16 and over, Pfizer shares gained 2.5%, and they've gained 35% in a year, while BioNTech stock has jumped 9.6%. So this is my dumb guy question. The future of pharmaceuticals, of pharmaceutical companies who produce things like monoclonal antibodies and vaccine, is there a chance that they could push out the smaller pharmaceuticals? Is there such a thing really as a soft monopoly taking place?
Well, it's an opportunity for the smaller companies to be bought up by the larger ones. And that's what we've been actually seeing. We're seeing those companies being bought up by the larger ones who have the cash to do that. So, you know, it could be seen as a great opportunity for some of those smaller companies to monetize and capitalize on that. I don't know. I think there's still plenty of innovation out there on the small company side that's doing research, et cetera. One thing I want to note here, talking about what you just mentioned on the pharmaceuticals. So at the same time that we saw the FDA approval, we saw a little bit, like you said, yeah, Pfizer, a little bit of a bump.
Right.
Where we really saw the bump, Ed, was in all the reopening trade stocks. So we saw the bump in airlines, hotels. It was all of the ancillary that if this is effective, and if, yes, it got approval, and yes, people can go out and do things again. So the real trade this last week was more about that than the pharmaceuticals.
Always providing clarity. Thank you for that. I meant to ask you this last night when I saw you, but I thought, no, this is a social occasion. I can't bother her with this stuff. So last month, the economic data was mixed. The census reported that retail sales had declined, suggesting that the weakening consumer demand, as we just were talking about. Now, normally that's not great news because consumer demand drives economic growth. However, with inflation at the highest level that we've seen in a decade, lower demand could actually help relieve upward price pressure. Can you explain that for me?
It could. And so even though we saw that mixed data, it was good news for those people who are saying inflationary is transitory. And what we saw was this big spike. And so people had, you mentioned fear of missing out. People were having a fear of missing out that prices were going to continue to go up, up, up. Therefore, they went out and bought cars at huge price increases. And that, finally, the consumer said, wait a minute, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm just going to hold off. By holding off, that brings prices back down to a more reasonable level and also staves the idea of inflation running rampant. So we're still of the opinion that we're going to have sustained inflation, but we've never said it was going to be runaway, and this is all good news. No one wants a runaway inflation. And so by consumers kind of pulling back, that's going to help soften the demand, soften the prices a little bit. Let's all become a little bit more reasonable. Wait a little bit before you make those purchases so that prices don't just go haywire.
Well, that makes perfect sense. I'm glad I asked you this morning so that you could share it with all of us instead of just me last night, really. So before we head out, I want to remind everyone that the Family Love Letter, by the way, is a gift you can leave your loved ones. If you want to be part of the conversation, you can join Laureen on September 2nd at 5 p.m. You go to wealthwisefinancial.com, or the email address is
info@wealthwisefinancial.com.
And how else can and that's where we find you. And other than great events that we produce, I guess we can find you at info@wealthwisefinancial.
You can, and they can give us a call. You can give us a call at 949-748-1177.
Okay. As always, great to talk to you this morning. And we'd spoken yesterday about maybe having you come on into the studio at some point and doing this.
We need to do that. Maybe next week.
All right. Let's get our best people on it and make it happen.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Ed. Have a good week.
Thank you, Laureen. You as well.
Bye-bye.
8:15 the time. Mornings with Ed.